So let's get started. Last session of the day, my name is Sahil Malik. My moderator is Michael Crum. The topic we'll be talking about is writing native iOS apps using this new language called Swift, using this amazing platform called Office 365. So a little bit about this session. I'll be showing you, how to write a native iOS app using Swift, targeting Office 365 and Azure AD. There are other ways to write applications for Office 365 as well, like Cordova, Xamarin, etc. I won't be talking about them today because, we have only an hour. There are other sessions available at like Build and Ignite that talk about those topics. A little bit about me. I've been a Microsoft MVP for a few years. I've written a few books. I'm a hands-on techie, 100% nerdy guy. You can Google about me, so I guess that's enough about me. My moderator is Michael Crump, a good friend of mine, works at Telerik, Microsoft MVP, coder, blogger, speaker. It's a wide range he has a passion for a wide range of technology stacks. You can reach him at michaelcrump.net or follow him on Twitter at mbcrump. Okay. What I call is the obligatory slide. iOS, what is iOS? If you've been hiding under a very large rock for the past few years, and the rock happens to be airtight and vacuum sealed and protected with all sorts of radio interference, this slide applies to you. Otherwise, most of us know what iOS is. So I'm just going to skip over this about Office 365. As far as the potential audience for Office 365, there are, a billion iOS devices out there. I would venture to guess there are probably more Office users or comparable number of Office users in the world, as compared to iOS. So the point is, these days we're writing apps and people are saying we can't make any money on apps, the App Store gold rush is over, etc. But, Office 365 almost presents a brand new opportunity for us app developers, both in the private world and in the enterprise. So that's why I think this session is extremely important for those of us that want to hit the app lottery. How do you sign up for Office 365? Office 365, as you know, is a Microsoft cloud-based offering for Office. That includes Office Client, Skype for Business, Exchange, Yammer, a bunch of other things. And the thing is, it applies to, one person, or it can apply to a many thousand people company. It starts as simple as you go to office365.com and sign up. Right, or sometimes if you buy a PC, it'll come with it. But you can take it a lot further. There are various plans. You can, trim it to suit your needs, integrate it with your Active Directory so it feels like single sign-on, etc. There's a lot in it. The interesting thing is that when you sign up for Office 365, you get an Azure Active Directory tenancy with it. So Office 365 does not live without Azure AD. So whether or not you're using Azure AD directly, the fact that you have Office 365 means that you are using Azure AD at least for sign-on, right? And then you can use it for many other things. So Azure AD is an independent product in Microsoft Azure, Microsoft's cloud offering. And that is a comprehensive identity and access management cloud solution. The way I think of Azure AD is that it is able to integrate with any standards compliant identity provider, and it is able to offer identity using various authentication protocols, and you have the ability to register your applications in Azure AD. So you're, delegating authentication to Azure AD, and Azure AD can delegate authentication to your ADFS endpoint, for instance. And there are a number of other SaaS applications like Box.net or Dropbox or, GoToMeeting, and there's like 2,000-3,000 of these that are available. Just by point and click, you can go ahead and set them up. So again, as I said, an important point is that if you have Office 365, you already have Azure AD. The first thing to know about Azure AD is that it is not the same as on-premises Active Directory. So it does not replace your on-premises Active Directory. It can work with your on-premises Active Directory. So the question is, why did Microsoft create Azure AD? The thing is, Microsoft wanted to create Office 365, and they wanted to be able to give a consistent, you know, logon experience, standards-based logon experience for users, developers, apps, APIs, and to solve that need, they created Azure AD. And then over time, Azure AD has grown, more features have gotten added. There's a free version that is very, very potent. That is what many of us use. And then there's a basic version and a premium version. And then Microsoft opened it to like outside of Microsoft as well. For instance, I'll be using something called as Office 365 APIs today. But you know what? They are just web APIs that the Microsoft developers wrote. You have the ability to write your own web APIs also and register them in Azure AD, and your iOS app can, you know, talk with them as well. Okay. So today, Azure AD is sort of becoming the de facto auth choice in the enterprise, definitely the de facto auth choice in the Microsoft world. So again, what's wrong with AD? It stays within your walls only. And VPN, I view that as staying within your walls. It's a network or wall extension technology. It's not a security technology. Direct access is just another kind of VPN. AD is too chatty. There's a single point of failure. It's suitable for one domain. Well, okay, we can do trusts, but you know, there are limitations to how much you can grow it. Certainly the entire internet is not going to be on one Active Directory. Who leverages Windows Azure Active Directory? At this point, a lot of people. You know, Intune is an amazing service, for instance, that allows you to do a whole number of things, but one of the really cool things it allows you to do is manage your mobile devices like iOS or Android, you know, and it's part of Office 365 enterprise plans for free. So, you know, if you're a large company considering mobile seriously, you're also thinking of MDM. Office 365 gives you that for free. This is a very old screenshot of who leverages Azure AD, but this list has grown since. The list right now is like 2,000-3,000 people are in there. Almost everybody that you care for is in Azure AD. There are various ways to set up Office 365. You can use what they call as a Microsoft-hosted identity. If I was to go online and get myself a Microsoft username password, then you know that would be a Microsoft-hosted identity. Typically, it would end in, say, username at tenancy.onmicrosoft.com. You can integrate it with your Active Directory, on-premises Active Directory, using a tool called DirSync. There are a few other ways also. You can sync your accounts with or without passwords. You can delegate authentication. I'm going over these slides a little quickly because I want to get to the more interesting part. But you know, when you're in an enterprise writing iOS apps and say, hey, can this work with my on-premises Active Directory, even though I'm targeting Office 365? The answer is absolutely yes. You just need to set up your Azure AD so it integrates or delegates authentication to your ADFS endpoint. So that's another way to set this up. And remember, an ADFS endpoint is just a standards compliant identity provider. It doesn't even have to be AD, doesn't have to be ADFS. If you want to use something completely different, I don't know, Novell NetWare, as long as it supports standards, it will work with Office 365 and Azure AD. So the important point I want to make here is that it is very flexible, you know, gives us a lot of choices, but at the same time, it gives us consistency. So it makes all the sense that, you know, we write the application in one way because we're going to probably put this app on an app store. We want millions of users to download it and, you know, pay us millions of dollars in the process. So the good news here is that you write against Azure AD, okay? And you write against Azure AD, and it doesn't matter how your users have set up their Azure ADs. As long as you target Azure AD, it should work. So native applications in Azure AD are multi-tenant by default. This is an important point for mobile apps. So when we talk of you know, native applications, so there are like two kinds of applications you can register in Azure AD. One are, you know, single tenant, and the second is multi-tenant. Single tenant means this application is something that I'm writing for my company, and only my company can use this. Multi-tenant is I've written this application, my company may or may not use it, but it's in Azure AD, but your company can simply go ahead and start using it by, say, downloading it from the App Store. And when you download it from the App Store, any user can go ahead and say, hey, do you want to grant this application access to, you know, various artifacts in your Office 365? And as long as the user has the rights to say yes, the user can say yes. what I just described, this process is also called as the Common Consent Framework. Now, native applications are multi-tenant by default, and that makes sense because these are going to end up in the App Store. Web-based applications, you have a choice of making them multi-tenant or single-tenant, right? So when you're writing a web API, for instance, maybe you want to make it single-tenant, maybe you want to make it multi-tenant, you know, depending upon your needs. Now, one concern people have sometimes is that, you know, can I, as an administrator, can I prevent any user from downloading an app off of the App Store and using it against our corporate Office 365? The answer is yes. It's basically a little PowerShell thing that the administrators need to run against Azure AD. Ping me offline and I'll shoot a link. It's on my blog too. You can search for it. But yes, administrators can turn that off. The last concept we need to learn before I dive into a demo is OAuth. OAuth is really an authorization protocol, though a lot of people confuse it and are using it for authentication, but let's say it's sort of becoming a standard for mobile applications for various reasons. It gives you secure delegated access to server resources on behalf of the resource owner, right? So it's not authentication. The user authenticates or the application authenticates, and at the end you get a token. The token has a lot of information. It can have claims. It can have things like, hey, this token was issued by, it is valid for, it is not valid before such and such time, it is valid after such and such time. And there are these claims embedded in the token as well, which can be used for, say, roles-based authorization, something I won't have a chance to get into today. But, you know, the access token is basically valid for a short duration, and as long as you have the access token, you stick it in the header of your requests, and then you're able to, you know, gain access to whatever the access token allows you to do. Lesson learned, if the access token is stolen, the other person can act as you until that access token is valid. So if you're using OAuth, by de facto, everything should be HTTPS, so access tokens are not stolen. There are other concepts involved with OAuth as well, like there's something called as an authorization code, there's something called as a refresh token. There are various ways to get the access token. There are various ways to renew the access token, like the remember me functionality. Like, you know, maybe you don't want the user to sign in for the next 6 months, but you still want to be able to, you know, revoke this and their access off of the server. In that scenario, you would want to use a refresh token. So, but the good news is that if you use the technique that I'm about to show you, you don't have to worry about those details. The Microsoft has provided us with, you know, certain libraries for literally every platform that matters as of today. And, you know, you can use those libraries and then you don't have to worry about these intricacies at all. Now, obviously, you know, if you run across a new platform and let's say Microsoft has not provided you with the libraries, and iOS is not one of those platforms. There are libraries available for iOS, but let's say you create your own platform that Microsoft has not created libraries for. Microsoft has provided enough documentation, and also all the interchanges are standards-based. So you have the ability to, you know, go down to the wire and do OAuth authentication yourself. But then you're responsible for managing refresh tokens, access tokens, etc. There's a little bit more work, but it's not horrible. Okay. So I'm just going to skip over a couple of these slides and just jump to this important slide here, which is my overall architecture. What I'm about to do is that I'm going to have an iPhone, rather I'll have an iPhone simulator because I want to be able to present everything on my screen. And this is going to make authenticated calls to a protected Office 365 resource. The specific functionality I picked is the ability to read the user's files. But you know what, you can easily enhance it to any other functionality by just going to Azure AD and checking a checkbox and writing some code in Swift. You will see that I'll go through a process. First, I will go ahead and register my app inside of Azure AD. This is typically what you would do. If you're using Visual Studio, there is a thing called right-click add connected service that does the same thing, but it's a little bit more automated. Personally, I still like to do it by hand because that way, you know, I'm a OCD freak. I like to keep things clean. I want to know what's going on behind the scenes. So I go behind the scenes into Azure AD and I hand register the app, which I will show in a second. And then I'm going to demonstrate calling only Office 365 resources, which is just a web API. Web API is a REST-based call, really. But you have the ability to, you know, write your own web APIs and register them in Azure AD as well. I will not be covering the process of writing your own web APIs, but I recently wrote an article for Code Magazine in which I demonstrated that exact technique recently. So anyway, now I'm going to cheat a little bit. What I did is that I have a bunch of screenshots here that I took just in case my demo fails. But the thing is, since I'm presenting this online, I had a little bit of a limitation that I couldn't switch over to my Mac. As you see, I'm presenting from Windows. So I couldn't like switch over to a Mac without giving you a good experience. So what I did instead is that I went ahead and recorded a little video. I recorded this last night at 2 in the morning. And I wrote up this application. If anybody's interested in the code, ping me. I'll put it on GitHub or something. But the code is really simple. And I'm just going to go ahead and play this movie. And you know, it's me talking, so it's going to feel exactly the same. And I'm going to explain in this movie exactly how the application has been built. Okay, so let me just set this up. Give me just a moment to get everything in place here. Okay, here we go.
The first thing you need to do is access your Azure AD. And the simplest way to get to that is by going to your Office 365 site and then look at this menu over here and then click on this admin tile. Once the admin area loads like this, scroll all the way to the bottom and look for Azure AD. If you click on that, it'll open a new tab. But if this is the first time you've clicked on it, it'll probably take you through a very simple setup process. But since I've already gone through that setup process, it simply takes me to the Azure AD that my Office 365 tenancy is set up in. The part that I'm interested in is applications. And you might already see applications that are registered here. I can click on this add button here to add new applications. You see there are two choices here. The first choice here is what we'll be using because this is a new application that we're writing. Or if there's an application that already exists as some other vendor has provided and it can just work with Office 365 and Azure AD, you would click on this second link over here. Things that you'll find in there like, GoToMeeting, Box.net, etc. So there's like 2,000-3,000 applications in there. But the part that we're interested in is this top link here. So I'm going to click here. And you see here that there are two choices here. Either you can go with a web application or web API, or you can go with a native client application. Since we're targeting Office 365 from a native iOS application, I'm going to choose native application. Okay, but the important thing is that you have the ability to register your own web application and web APIs in here. And, well, actually, the Office 365 APIs are just web APIs that Microsoft has written. So you have the ability to write those as well, and your native applications can, you know, make use of both. So let me go ahead and give it a name, native iOS app, for instance. Click Next. Okay, this redirect URI is interesting. The redirect URI is, the way it works is that after in your native application, a web view will load in which the user has to provide their credentials. On successful authentication, Azure AD will do a redirect over here, and the Office 365 or Azure AD ADAL for iOS knows at that point that it needs to close the web view and, you know, return the access token, etc., or authorization code, and from there you get the access token. For Windows applications, I mean Windows Phone or Windows 8 applications, you have to go through a registration process and get a redirect URI that is specific to your application. But for iOS, I can type anything I want here. As long as this something is something that I will remember, because this is the URL to which a redirect will occur. So I need to tell my application to watch for this redirect. And watch for this redirect may sound complex, but actually you'll see in a moment it's actually something very, very simple. So let me just go ahead and write that in, and I'm going to hit this button here to go ahead and register my native iOS app. Okay. Once the app is registered, I need a couple of things out of here. I need this redirect URI, so I'm going to go ahead and copy this and save it. And another thing I need is the client ID. And I'm going to go ahead and copy this as well, and I'm going to save this and keep it at a place where I can access it later. So as you can see over here, I basically put these in a text editor, something, and, you know, so I'm going to need these later, so I'm going to keep these safe somewhere. Okay. The next thing I need to do is go down here and click on this link that says configure access to web APIs and other applications. Now, what is this? Here is where we basically say that my application has the ability to call, you know, the following web APIs. So if I want to be able to say my application can call, I don't know, Skype for Business, I would, you know, define that access somewhere inside of here. If my application has access to, you know, some Office 365 service, I would define that access here. If my application has access to a custom web API I have written, I would define that access in here. So how do you do that? It's very simple. Go to configure it now. And so you can have multiple redirect URLs. It also supports wildcard redirect URLs, but let's not worry about that. You can have a logo here. Let's go. Okay. So see, already by default, every application has access to basic sign-on and read users profiles. You can uncheck that if you want. I'm going to click on add application, and I'm going to choose Office 365 online. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and grant the permission. So depending upon what your application is doing, you want to be able to, you know, grant, you know, access rights. And I fully expect this list to grow, both the number of applications and things they can do. But for now, I'm just going to keep it simple. I'm going to use this and say read users files. This is a permission we just gave. Click on the save button and wait for this to finish. And once this registration is done, my application is registered. It hasn't been written yet. It's not running in Azure AD. It's just registered for authentication and access. But at this point, I can go ahead and start writing my application. And in that, I would need to specify that client ID and that redirect URI, you know, these two things. So we're going to need these. So keep these safe, and next thing we do is open Xcode. Okay, with our application set up in Azure AD, the next thing I'm going to do is that I'm going to go ahead and create a new Xcode project. In order to create a new Xcode project, I'm going to choose to create a single view application. Well, you know, you can pick anything really, but I'm just going with the simplest possible. Click on next, and I'm going to choose language SIFT, devices universal. Leave this unchecked to keep things really simple. And I'll call this native iOS app. Now, you may see that, you know, the application name I've chosen here is the same as what I'd register in Azure AD. That's not necessary. This could be called anything, because really Azure AD matches it with the client ID. Anyway, so I'm going to hit next. And let's go ahead and create this. So I'm not going to create a Git repo, and I'm going to go ahead and click on create. Okay, so my application is created, and that's good. Now, before I can go further, I'm going to need the Office 365 SDK. And the standard mechanism of delivering the Office 365 SDK to me is CocoaPods. So let me go ahead and open Terminal, and first let me make sure that I have CocoaPods installed. And, you know, eventually I'll need to go into the directory where my project is. So let me go into that directory. It was under Documents, Developer, Native iOS App. Okay. So in order to install CocoaPods, I have to sudo gem install CocoaPods, okay? It's going to ask you to elevate, and, you know, it'll install CocoaPods. Now, you may see a different output because you've never installed CocoaPods before, but if you have, it'll go ahead and, you know, set up CocoaPods for you. And while you were not looking, I cheated a little bit. I went ahead and created another file in here. So if I showed you what it looks like under Finder, I created a file called pod file. And, you know, if I open this pod file over here, this is what the contents of pod file look like. Right now it's called podfile.txt, so I could just easily open it. But I'm going to rename the, that to just part file in a second. But it's basically saying that we need, you know, such and such version of Adel iOS, such and such version of Office 365, and, you know, what projects that we want to target, right? So the part file created, let's go ahead and move this out of our way. Cocoa parts is installed. I have to rename part file.txt to partfile.txt to part file, like that. Let's make sure it is renamed. And once this is done, I need to issue a command called pod install. Okay? So I'm going to say pod install. And give it a second. It's going to go online and it'll go ahead and install, you know, Cocoa Parts, the Adel iOS, and Office 365 SDKs for me. Give it a second. Or two, or five, or 28. All right, analyzing dependencies, come on, you can do this. Okay, while this is happening, I'm gonna do something interesting here. I'm gonna bring Finder on the site so we can see what's going on over here. So we can see both windows on the site. So while this guy happens, just let's keep an eye on what happens here. Okay, it's doing something, generating parts project. Okay, so I need to, so basically now I'm gonna go ahead and close Xcode, right? Because next I need to open this workspace. So let me go ahead and close Xcode, and let me go ahead and open the workspace project instead, like this. Okay, so I see that the parts are here, my project is still here. And now at this point, I can start writing, you know, my logic and my code. Okay, so our project is being written in Swift. And, you know, the SDK is for Objective-C. So I need something called as the Objective-C bridge. So in order to get that, I'm going to right-click on my project. I'm going to say New File. And I'm going to go ahead and create an Objective-C file. And I'm going to go ahead and click next and give this, you know, whatever you want, .m. I mean, you know, it really doesn't matter what you call this. I'm going to delete this later anyway. And I'm going to go ahead and hit next. Just go ahead and stick this here and click create. Now, this dialog is very important. It says, would you like to configure an Objective-C bridging header? I'm going to hit yes. All right. And this basically goes ahead and creates the bridging header. Now, at this point, I don't need this file. I'm going to go ahead and delete this file. And in the bridging header, I'm going to go ahead and add a couple of import statements. And these import statements are necessary to be able to work with the Office 365 SDK. Now, once I've done this much, now I have the ability to basically start writing Swift code that is targeting Office 365 SDK. It's really as simple as that. So basically the next thing we need to do is that we need to, you know, actually write our functionality. Okay, so how do we go about doing that? We go into our app and let's go ahead and look at, now what do we have here? We have the storyboard. We have the view controller, and so on and so forth. So this is the default application that Xcode has created for me. And, you know, this view controller that basically created for me, I don't need this. So I'm going to go ahead and get rid of this. And instead, I'm going to go ahead and drop a table view controller instead. Now, obviously, you know, the actual application logic depends completely on, you know, your needs. But I just want to go with a simple table view controller because it's simple. So let's go ahead and go to table view controller, table view, okay, table view cell. And I will go ahead and give it an identifier here called OneDrive file. Okay. So more or less, my user interface is all set up. I'm trying to create, I'm trying to keep this extremely simple. So now I'm going to go ahead and, you know, focus on my code. So let's go ahead and go to the view controller file over here. And instead of this view controller class inheriting from UI view controller, I will instead choose to inherit from UI table view controller instead. Okay. All right. Now, should I have created a new file with a better name? Yeah, I guess. But I'm just trying to save some time. Okay. Next, let's go back to our storyboard, and let's go to the table view controller that I had. And under this tab here, under the custom class, I'm going to go ahead and pick the view controller that I have in my project. And basically, so the custom class for this is my this class in which I'm going to write some code. Okay. All right. So far, so good. Now we need to start writing some interesting code inside of here. So when we start writing our code, I mean, the first thing I'm going to do is I will get, you know, our basic functionality done without worrying about Office 365 much. I'm going to go ahead and create a variable called var files of type MS SharePoint item. And this comes from the SDK that we had. Okay, so it's an array. And the next thing I'm going to basically add is, since we're using a table view controller, I'm going to go ahead and add a couple of functions for the basic functionality of the table view controller. And those are, I'm going to say override, table view. So the first one I need is the one with the number of rows in section. This one here, and this will simply return the return self.files.count. What's the purpose of this? This is basically returning me the number of files that we have loaded, which we haven't loaded yet, but we will soon. And these files are basically, you know, it tells iOS, you know, how many files I have in my table view controller. The second one I need is I'm going to go ahead and override table view with, I am looking for self or row at index path, this one here. And the purpose of this over here is to basically, you know, dequeue a cell and set the appropriate value of the cell and return that over here. So I'm just going to go ahead and drop some code inside of here, like that. And what this is doing, it's basically, you know, dequeuing a cell with identifier. Remember, we had set up this identifier over here, right? So this identifier here. So, you know, that same identifier is going to dequeue reusable cell with that identifier, gets the cell, then basically gets the file for that particular, you know, wherever you are in the indexer. And then basically sets the text label's text value and returns that cell. Now, the reason iOS does this for memory optimization. So as long as this files variable had some stuff in it, as in what stuff would it have? It would have, you know, the files that are available in my site. As long as that variable was populated, I should see data at this point. So what's the process of getting that data? So the next thing I need to do is that I need to, you know, in view did load, I will go ahead and populate this files variable. But before I can populate the files variable, I need to authenticate, which means I need to get what they call as the access token. And before I can get the access token, I need to get these global variables here. These are specific to, you know, the tenancy that you're targeting. So typically when the user logs in, or this should be a question you would ask the user. client ID and redirect URI, you would hard code in your application because by definition, all native clients like this one here is multi-tenant. So as long as it is in Azure AD once, if any other user downloads this from the App Store and, you know, targets it towards their Office 365 installation, it'll present them with a dialogue asking to grant access. So you don't need to worry about, you know, re-registering this manually or whatever. So basically, these we hardcode. Remember, I got these from Azure AD. This is when I registered the application. I'd gotten these from Azure AD at that point. Okay. Inside of here, I'm going to go ahead and write the code to first do the authentication. And once the authentication is done, I'm going to go ahead and you know, load the files. So how do I go about doing that? It's actually fairly simple. Because I have the Office 365 SDK, this code becomes extremely simple. All I do is basically get the authentication context. See, it's just using these variables. And then I just say authentication context.acquire token with resource, and I pass in these details. And if authentication is successful, I'm going to go ahead and get the access token, right? An access token is, you know, basically is what I need to be able to call Office 365 in an authenticated manner. And with this access token, I'm going to go ahead and call a function called load files using access token. Now, if you remember, when I registered my application in Azure AD, I had given it access to read the user's files. If I had given it more access than that, then I could perform some other action with the same access token. That's called as a common consent framework, that with one access token, I get access to all the things that this application has access to. And from here onwards, you know, once you get the access token, you know, the authentication code is more or less the same. And now I just need to write my actual functionality, which is loading the files using the access token. So how do I go about doing that? It's actually fairly simple. As you can see, I added a method here for load files using access token. Register class for cell with, you know, OneDrive file. This is the reuse identifier that I'd set up earlier, as I mentioned. And then I'm basically calling this API over here, as you can see, right? I get the client, and I say client get files, okay? And basically, I'm reading the data. If I get the files, I get the result. Now, this API is specific to exactly what you're trying to do. In this case, I'm trying to read files, so this is what I have to do to read files. That's basically it. We are at a point now where we can run the application. Another minor thing you have to do, obviously, is go ahead and ensure that you make this as the you know, initial view. So how do you do that? Basically, you know, just select the view controller and you make sure that this checkbox is checked, is initial view controller. So you choose view controller over here and you choose this is it initial view controller. Ensure that the arrow appears over here. So basically, when the application loads, this is the first view controller that will get kicked in. That's it. Your application is ready to run. I have the simulator selected here. Let's just go ahead and hit this play button to go ahead and run the application. Okay, let's go ahead and hit this play button. If you've done everything right, you should see something like this. Now, what's happened over here is that our application loaded. I'm running it on the simulator. And it's basically prompting me to log in. Now, you know, when you put your application in the App Store, the users are going to see something like this. What's happening here is that it is trying to sign the user in into their Office 365 tenancy. This page is brandable depending upon your tenancy. I'm going to go ahead and now I have a very simple tenancy, so I'm going to go ahead and provide my credentials. And I'm going to not show you my password. And go ahead and sign in. And once you're able to do this, as you can see here, that it is successfully get it successfully gets the access token, which is a simple JAR token that I'm writing down here, and it is able to get the list of the files that I have access to. And that's basically all you have to do to be able to write a native iOS application targeting Office 365 using Swift. It's really as simple as that. So from here onwards, if you're going to write a more compelling application, you just, you know, grant yourself more access inside of Office 365 registration, and basically just use more Office 365 APIs to be able to write more compelling code. That's basically it. It's as simple as that.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed watching that. So, like, if this was at a conference, I would have probably done that live, but, you know, this is a video. But I forgot the most important slide, which is thanks, and I hope you enjoyed that and found that valuable. We would love to take any questions that you may have at this point.
While we're waiting for the audience to ask their questions, I do have a couple polling questions I'd like to ask you. I'm going to display the poll. Will pop up on the left side of your viewing screen. We'd really appreciate it if you give us your feedback. There will be several more polls after this, so keep an eye on that side of your screen. And please don't be shy about asking questions.
So, One question we received is, is there any guidance or restrictions from Apple as far as Office 365 apps are concerned? And the answer is no. Apple has not put out anything specific. But one thing Apple does require you to do is that, you know, when you submit your application for approval to Apple, when you want to put it in the App Store, they require to be able to sign on using, some credential so they can verify that the user interface follows their guidelines and whatever else they want to be able to check. And for that, the easiest thing to do is just set up a simple trial Office 365 tenancy for free when you submit your app, and that'll make sure that requirement is met. Okay, another question is, can we use this technique if we're not using Office 365 at all? That is, you know, if you just want to be able to target corporate identity using AD and ADFS in general. And the answer is yes. Azure AD is a product that applies to more than just Office 365. So you have the ability to set up Azure AD otherwise, and Microsoft has got an ADAL, Active Directory Authentication Library for iOS. So there's an ADAL SDK that you can download in a similar mechanism using CocoaPods. In fact, if you looked at the pod file, I was doing that. I downloaded that SDK. So yes, this applies to more than just Office 365. Okay, I'm just reading this off our tweets, actually, getting questions in different places. Another question is, what are your thoughts around Cordova, React, NativeScript, Xamarin versus Swift, Objective-C, what we just looked at? So the answer is, I think, you know, these days, I guess we have to learn almost everything. Each approach has their pluses and minuses. As far as writing apps for Office 365 is concerned, the support for Xamarin is coming. It's there, it's in alpha. There is another version that's available that's a little bit more, you know, manual work involved, et cetera. The iOS SDK is in a very good shape currently. I'm sure it'll improve. The support for Windows platform is obviously very good. When it comes to Cordova, there is a library available called adal.js. But adal.js does something called as implicit authentication flow, so it doesn't quite do what we saw here. So if you want to do things in like pure JavaScript, there's a little bit more hands-on you have to do, but it's certainly doable. And by that, I mean, you know, that you'd be targeting Cordova or something. And as it comes to like React, React Native or Native Script, those are two very interesting, you know, compelling alternatives that are emerging to writing native or Cordova applications, because they give you, they really give you the best of both. So you know, Cordova is still, at the end of the day, is still a web view. Native Script, React, they're, you know, they compile to native. So that's amazing. But if you're using those, then there is no like SDK from Microsoft for Native Script or React Native at this time. React Native is too new. And maybe down the road, there will be an SDK. However, there is guidance out there right now that you can use to you know, hand roll this yourself. And, you know, I encourage you to put it on GitHub so the rest of us can benefit from it as well. Okay, so as always, you know, you can reach reach me on Twitter at Sahil Malik, and if there are any further questions even after this presentation ends, I'd be more than thrilled to answer them. Thanks.